This is Good News Chats with Dr. Ken Tangen.
Hi, this is Ken Tangen, and this Good News Chat is with Gloria Rowe. Hi, Gloria.
Hi, Ken.
When I think of Gloria Rowe, the first thing that comes to my mind is So Great Salvation.
Oh, my goodness. It got recorded for Bev Shea. It was written for the Grand Crusade and Copenhagen.
Ah.
Yeah, I just talked with the man today who was standing right there as the guest to give his testimony for the very first time, the famous Keith Miller. Are you believing that?
Isn't that something?
It is something. It is something, because I have so much to celebrate, and there's so many of us still alive, believe it or not.
Did you grow up in a Christian family?
Yes, I did. Amish, Mennonite, to the core.
Mm-hmm.
10 children on each side, and so that gave me an upwards of 37 first cousins.
Wow.
And they're all pretty well spread out still in Kern County, the food basket of the world, they call it.
Now, you started playing the piano early on in your life.
Yes, I was 4, and I had written a bunch of offertories, what have you. I'm 5. I'm playing for the First Mennonite Church, Averson Hoover. And I won. Only one reason that I landed, geographically speaking, I guess. I landed at what was called the Zulinski Paderewski School of Music. It's on the corner of Sunset and Alvarado. Paderewski had come to our country. He was a Pole, of course. Very brilliant, brilliant governor. But musician, unbelievable, and to this day they say that Paderewski indeed is the greatest pianist of the world. So what had happened was my mother had me go and play. I didn't know what she was doing at the women's club. Just go out there and play, Gloria. They're going to call your name. They said, I have to go to the bathroom. And she said, wet your pants. Get out there. So that's the German part of how you grow up. And I sat down and did my medley that I was just enjoying playing for this very, very receptive crowd, and then rushed on off the stage and went to the restroom, and then they called me back out in this lineup where they had done the adjudication, and they said, our winner is Gloria Ann Cleaver. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I go, well, what does that mean? So afterwards, you didn't ask me, shall I tell you?
Oh, please.
Yeah, so afterwards, this man came up and he said, Mr. Cleaver, you're Peter Cleaver? And my father said, yes, I'm Peter. And who are you? And he said, I'm Jack Warner. And he said, he put his big old arm, and he smelled terrible. He put this big old arm around me, and he said, she's mine now. And you should have seen my father's face. My mother's hiding off behind a curtain. But anyway, he said, come with me into the office. I need to see you. And he opened up a door behind, and just Mr. Warner and my dad and I went in this door. Mom did not come in, would not come in. And we sat down, and he had his pile of papers, and he said, now she's ours. She has won against 500, yada, yada, yada. And that gives her 15 years with Paderewski as instructor. And we're going to use her immediately. One of our producers was here, and we're going to use her immediately for a backdrop thing of the kind of piano she's playing, the style. And my dad says, this is just a minute. She isn't yours. I'm her father. And she belongs to the God that we serve. We are Mennonite people from 81st, and he gave his spiel. And Mr. Warner says, well, you've got a lot to think about then. He said, you just get back to me, because we'll give you whatever money you say. We'll give you scholarship. So my father said, I'll never forget, it's like it was yesterday. He goes, she will never belong to anyone but her creator. And she'll be playing every Sunday. You can come here. She does a lot of concerts. And with her friend Andre Crouch, who's Crouch Temple is across the street. Oh, yes, we know, but that's a black church. And my dad was so cute. He goes, oh, is it black? And that was the end of Mr. Warner. He said, okay, here you go. And he gave me this gorgeous gold embossed already. They had done it off in some other room. Gloria Ann Clear is the recipient of 15 years study, yada, yada, da, the Paderewski School of Music, Sunset in Alvarado, and that's what I won.
Wow. So did you study with Paderewski?
Yes.
Wow.
And, you know, it's interesting because he, what I've told you today, I told him, because he was very personable and he wanted to be knowledgeable, so he asked the same question that you asked. And in my telling him, he said, you will play the words because they're in your heart. And, you know, the dynamite of that, the force of what that really means, Ken, you know, doesn't dawn on a child. But it did. It affected me greatly because I could still see tears. And he had a long conductor stick they used to use and maybe snap if the left hand was crooked or just needed a tap a couple times. And there'd be a tear coming down his face. But the rule of thumb was that I did not appear for any lesson unless my lesson was memorized. And there were beds above the studio where there was a woman that lived. And very often my parents would leave me after church on Sunday night and come and get me on Thursday.
Mm.
So there was like a dorm up there. I mean, it was just a flat wooden thing. There was nothing else because I did play 7 hours a day and got an hour out in the back for lunch on a merry-go-round thing and jumped the rope. So that was the school of music that I went to.
There's a quote by Paderewski that says, if I don't practice one day, I notice. If I don't practice 2 days, the critics notice. And if I don't practice 3 days, the whole world notices.
Exactly. That's on his wall in a great brass hanging. Yeah. If only we... Oh, wow. You don't want to get me started. if only we were applying that to this generation.
Was there a godly person who greatly impacted your life?
My father. Passion personified... passion toward my mother, with my mother. We read scripture very briefly. He'd give us a line, and there was a little jar with silver dollars. He would put up a silver dollar in there at the end of the day at the main dinner, which was always after he came in from work and took off his khaki clothes and was dressed for dinner. If we quoted our verse, he dropped a silver dollar in our little glass. And so the goal of the day was that we had memorized, you know, our scripture that he had assigned us in the morning. I can't recall. You could offer me $1 million. I can't recall anything but hugs, hugs, hugs. I can't recall punishment. I can by my mother. She was very stern. And he used to comfort me. He'd say, you must remember that your precious mother was one of 10 children, and she was the 7th one, and her mother died. So she did not have a mother. And who you call Grandmother Bartell up there in Bakersfield, which is where everybody lives, that was the next wife. So she doesn't know how to treat children. So just love her anyway. We have to show her our love. So he was never, you know what I mean? He was never critical. In any way, he had an answer for how our behavior should be in the given situation.
We'll have more with Gloria Rowe right after these announcements.
Announcements, 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 announcements.
Today's good news announcement is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
That's the end of our announcements.
That's the end of our announcements. That's the end of our announcements.
That's the end. That's the end. That's the end. That's the end.
No more.
So, Gloria, how old are you?
Well, it sounds nice if I say 70. I don't have to be technical, do I?
No.
I don't look good.
Well, you've always been very pretty.
Well, thank you. What are you doing for dinner? Oh, shoot.
Having been a Christian for a while, what drives you crazy about Christians?
That they have, I'm glad you brought that up. I just spoke at a luncheon where that was the case. I am in shock that they can have so much, have it all, and somehow I don't experience the passion, the feeling, or a greeting, or a smile, or something to everyone they meet.
What's the one practical thing Christians could do to improve the world?
Be open their dining room table, even if it's breakfast Saturday morning. Invite the neighbors, you don't know them, but just say, hey, we want to have breakfast together. Get over here. Please, could we meet you? And fellowship over food. It has to be over food. Do just like Jesus did. Mm-hmm. You know, his first church was only three people. And then he went on and started the next one with those 12 guys that he ran with. And that's the thing to do. Mm-hmm. Just have people over and say, hey, hope you enjoyed your meal. Anything we can ever do, we happen to go down to the church on the corner to get it if you ever need anything. And there will be still be a taker. I've seen it.
Do you have a favorite Bible verse?
Oh, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
I want to thank Gloria Rowe for joining me today. Thanks, Gloria. I appreciate it.
Amazing and so glorious, so beautifully victorious, almost unbelievable, completely inconceivable, astoundingly divine, wonderfully sublime, incredibly, delightfully, stupendously, abundantly, emphatically, eternally, fantastically, remarkably, good news!
We've got good news for people in trouble, good news for people in pain, we've got good news for everybody, good news. Jesus is alive. Good news, Jesus is alive. Good news, Jesus is alive. Alive, alive, alive. Good news, Jesus is alive. Good news.